John Molinaro joins us in studio, chief soccer reporter for Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca. John, thanks for this. You are nervous, though. Italy, Spain at noon this afternoon.
Yeah. Okay. I'm always nervous, though, whenever my team
plays.
You're
a big ball of nerves.
Yeah. Regardless of how I think they'll do. I'm just always nervous.
But, okay, so I think what, in talking to, and there's a lot of Italians around this building.
Yeah.
Dan Riccio is a big Azzurri guy, naturally. I think most Italians that I've talked to, they like to underplay everything that's happened with the Italians. Even if they look real good in the first match against Belgium, it's, oh, well, whatever. Like, this is classic Italy. You know, they play this defensive style, just hope to get a break the other way and score, take advantage of their limited opportunities. This won't work. This is not how you win in a tournament. Is that how you view it? Or do you, like, undersell it to yourself? Or do you actually have optimism going into today against Spain?
I have a little optimism. I think they looked pretty solid in through the group stage, much better than I thought they would, just because I just thought the lack of attacking options and quality up front that they were going to struggle a bit. But, you know, defensively and from a defensive organization perspective, they were, I think, one of the best teams in the group stage. So I think that's sort of the key. If they can negate Spain and really keep them in check and kill off any chances that they have of just sort of, you know, going forward, then absolutely Italy has a chance. I'm not expecting it, but yeah, I think this is a winnable game.
So it's a weird jersey choice you came up with today.
Yes, Arsenal.
Like, why? I imagine you have an Italian national team jersey. No,
I do. It's just honestly, Ben, it was just the only clean thing left.
Right. Okay. Yeah, you're just at dire straits these days. You're tweeting out pictures of you eating fried chicken.
I know.
Like, you're wearing Arsenal jerseys on the day in which it's the biggest game in the last few years for the Italian national team. Yeah. It's just very bizarre from you.
Well, my life kind of falls apart like during these big tournaments because everything else gets pushed to the side. Yeah. So it's
Where do you plan on watching this thing? Over at your desk?
In the newsroom. Yeah.
Okay.
I got to write a column later on this.
All right. So is there going to be somebody sitting next to you? Because you're a flailer. I've seen you in these big matches, and there's, like, fist pumps, and there's, like, a lot of gesticulation. You need a radius, I think. Like, I think you need anybody that sits next to you maybe should move away for those 2 hours.
There's one guy sitting beside me, but I don't think Evan is in work today. So,
oh, there. You're set.
So I'm set. But, I flail about a bit, but, but when there's something to flail about, I'm not sort of... You know, every minute, I'm pretty much sort of calm and just, you know, intent on watching the game. If there's a goal, then that's when I'll flail about.
I can't wait to see you in that first half. I'll stick around, take some videos, maybe post them on Twitter at Ben Assessnet. So yesterday was much better at the Euros than Saturday. Saturday.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And we talked about it on the radio over the weekend, how just dreadful Saturday was as far as the quality of play. Hey, yesterday was fun.
It was. Yeah. It was a lot of good games. I know people will look at, you know, the 4-0 win by Belgium over Hungary and see that as a blowout, but it was a lot closer than it was. And, you know, Ireland gave France a bit of a scare, you know, getting that penalty goal in the second minute, that sort of livened things up. Germany, you know, after kind of quietly going about their business through the group stage, you know, really kind of put the hammer down and looked like the world champions and put on a quality display against Slovakia. So, yeah, I mean, compared to Saturday, which was, you know, absolutely dreadful from a quality and entertainment standpoint, Sunday was... more than made up for it, I felt.
Talking to John Molinaro, chief soccer reporter, sportsnet.ca. So France was one of the favorites.
Yeah.
And like you said, they were down 1-0 to Ireland yesterday, but came back to win 2-1. They're at home, naturally, for the remainder of the tournament. Germany through with the 3-0 victory over Slovakia, and Belgium with 4-0 victory over Hungary. That side of the draw is stacked. It's a tough one. And I think those people that have made the case for all three of those teams as being a team that can win this thing, well, certainly now that we're into the quarterfinals, anybody can win it. But of those three, France, Germany, Belgium, who's looked the most impressive to you?
Overall, I still think the Germans. I still think, you know, despite, and, you know, the world champions are always held to a ridiculously high standard sometimes. And I think people expect them just to sweep all in front of them. And they really didn't play. I think the criticism of them in the group stage was very harsh. They played well. I mean, they didn't lose a game. They didn't concede a goal. They still won a difficult group ahead of Poland. So, but I think there was still a sense from watching them through those first three games that there was more to come, that they, you know, hadn't hit top gear. And I think we saw it yesterday. I mean, they absolutely dominated Slovakia. It was a dominant and professional performance. They have quality and so much depth all over the pitch that I really think they have to be considered the favorites. France, if for no other reason that, you know, they have the home field advantage, and I think that's going to carry them a long way. But if I could pick one team, it would be Germany.
I know we talked on Saturday, and you talked about being really excited for Croatia, Portugal, and it really underperformed or undersold, it oversold and underdelivered.
Yes.
In Portugal winning in extra time. But I think for neutrals today, like I know for you, Italy playing whoever, Micronesia would have been exciting. But I think for neutrals, this is the match of the round of 16, right? Italy-Spain?
I think so. I mean, I still think, you know, I mean, it certainly didn't play out that way, but Croatia-Portugal could have been the game of the round of 16. It just under-delivered, as you said. But from going into it, it certainly had all the possibilities of being the best match, just when you look at the caliber of talent on display. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, Italy-Spain, I think it's right up there, potentially, as one of the best games of the round. You're talking about two of the best teams in the world. You're talking about a replay of the final from 4 years ago. And just look at the caliber of players on display, from Gianluigi Buffon, who I still think is one of the best goalkeepers in the world, to Andres Iniesta, to Leonardo Bonucci, to Alvaro Morata. This is a star-studded game between two very good teams.
So 2 years ago, Spain didn't get out of the group stage at the World Cup.
Right.
Are they back? Like, because that was, I'm sure that was a moment of big time discussion in that country that was for a long time. They won everything internationally there was to win, and to not even make it to the knockout round of the World Cup. And by the way, do you remember the winner of that group? Because I have it right here.
I want to say Chile.
No, Chile was second.
Was it Holland?
Yeah, the okay. Dutch won that group. They didn't even make Euro 2016. So it's weird how things can change in just a matter of 2 years, because the Dutch did not qualify in an expanded format for the 2016 Euros. And here are Spain. We're talking about them as being one of the favorites. Are they all the way back then?
I don't know that they're all the way back, but I certainly think that they're back, and they've certainly put, you know, the disappointment of Brazil behind them. Yeah, you're quite right. There was a lot of discussion and hand-wringing after they bowed out so meekly in Brazil 2 years ago. But I think when you look at it, especially how they've played now, I mean, it was really just an aberration. They've rebounded quite nicely. You know, through the first two games of this competition, they were outstanding. And up until, you know, they conceded that goal against Croatia, they were, you know, I think most people were ready to crown them champions of this team. I think that, or this tournament. I still think that's premature, and they have to get by Italy. But yeah, I think they're back to an extent.
So the round of 16 will wrap up this afternoon at 3 o'clock with England and perennial powerhouse Iceland with all their sons, S-O-N, all 11 starters with the last names that end in S-O-N.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You didn't know that? Oh, it's a great piece of trivia.
Okay.
Yeah, no, but they're like one of those fun teams in this tournament with the expanded format that we get to see, and that is, I don't know if you can call it overperforming, because they were pretty good in qualifying, and they're a legit team, and they've got some players that have played in some significant leagues in Europe. But this is, boy, if England loses this one, that's a tough one, right? Like, this is, the pressure's all on the English.
Oh, absolutely it is. You know, the Iceland is playing in their first major international tournament. So I think, you know, not to say that they're glad just to be here, but yeah, absolutely. The pressure is all in England, because if they fail against a team the caliber of Iceland with all the limited resources they have compared to, you know, the motherland, the great sort of creators of the game, I wouldn't even want to imagine.
It'd be a tough week for that part of the world.
It
the
sure Brexit. Would. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I don't even want to imagine what the reaction in the English media would be. You know, the English media being so staid and, you know, reserved at times. Of course, I'm kidding. Yeah, I think it would just create like a major crap storm.
Yeah. And as much as I want to see you today during Italy-Spain, I want to see James Sharman as well this afternoon.
Yeah, he gets pretty nervous too.
Yeah, he gets intense. But he's very much like, as much as you want to underplay your expectations for Italy, he's like even more so. He's very down on
absolutely.
The English.
Like, absolutely. Yeah.
Which is pretty smart way to go. Before we go, I do want to ask about Messi losing in another final, Copa America yesterday, to Chile. And that's four major competition finals recently and losses in all four. Three Copas and one World Cup in which they lose to Germany. And like in the heat of the moment, he says, I'm done.
Right.
Misses a penalty. Says, that's it for me at the international level. Like he's not Ibra, who's what, in his 30s already?
Yeah, Ibrahimovic is 34, 35, something
right.
like that.
Right, and he plays for Sweden, which is not Argentina.
Right.
Messi's what, 28, 29?
He's 29.
Is that legit? Is that just a heat of the moment thing, or is that it? Have we seen it from Messi at the international level?
I think it was just heat of the moment. I think the sort of frustration of, you know, losing, you know, a second consecutive Copa America final in as many years to Chile in the same way in the penalty shootout, him missing the penalty. I think the frustration and the heat of the moment just got the most of him. I don't think this will stick. I'm praying that it doesn't, because at 29, I think he has a lot more to give. He'll only be 31 in Russia. And I think he has a lot more football, plenty of more football left in him. If he does step away, I mean, that's a shame, but I don't think it changes his legacy at all.
That was my next question.
Yeah, I still think, I mean, people will say, well, he's quitting on his team and he didn't win the World Cup, so he can't be considered among the greatest. I think that's utter nonsense. I've never considered, you know, winning World Cups a prerequisite for being considered the greatest of all time.
It might be the end of the beard, though.
Probably, yeah. Didn't that look weird
on
him?
It was very weird. He always looks so fresh-faced and young, right?
Yeah, well, he just kind of looked like a hobo out there. It was just like, what are you doing?
It's amazing that you're casting stones about people's appearance.
Yes, I shouldn't be doing that, considering my facial hair situation.